shailas this week. One shaila that came up this week, a guy who lives in Northwood Mir told me that one day he came home and he found that on his front doorstep there were a couple of packages, and the packages had someone else's name on them. It said, Mr. Bob Jones, but it had his address. Let's call this fellow Yehuda, because his name is Yehuda. So it had Yehuda's address, but it had Bob Jones's name. So he thought that was weird, but it had his address. So he brought him inside and, you know, see what happens. And next thing he knows, a few hours later, a young gentleman comes knocking at his door, saying, I think my packages were accidentally delivered to your house. Did you get any packages from me? And he says, what's your name? And the fellow says, my name is Bob Jones. And he says, can I see some ID before I give you the packages? And then the fellow starts getting like all nervous and he refuses to show him ID. And the conversation goes in circles for a little bit. And then Yehuda says to Bob Jones, please leave. And Bob Jones turns around, runs away. Two of his friends jump out from behind the bushes. They jump into a car and they speed off. He had no idea what just happened. Yehuda calls the cop. Something is strange here. So the police officers come and they say, oh, no, it's clear what happened over here. These young fellows stole a credit card, and they stole Bob Jones's credit card, probably, and they ordered things from, let's say, Amazon, but they didn't want to order to their address because then it's very easily traceable where it goes to. So they were hoping that it would be left on your doorstep. They would get there in time. They would pick it up and they would have these items. You foiled their plan by bringing the stuff inside. So Yehuda says to the police officers, okay, here are the packages, you know, so do police thing and, you know, take care of it. So the police officer said, well, we're not touching this, but we have nothing to do with these packages. We're not doing anything with these. So Yehuda wanted to know what to do with these packages. He opened them up, and one of them had a pair of Nike sneakers. Yehuda did not tell me if they were his size or not. The other package was a bunch of gift cards, Tory Burch gift cards. You familiar with Tory Burch?
Expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Elizabeth, we heard of Tory Burch. I was expecting a Five Towns there to, you know. Well, you've only heard of it, yes. You've seen knockoffs. What does he do with them now? What does he do with his Tory Burch gift cards? What does he do with the sneakers? Is there a difference between the two? That is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, a very nice fellow that I know, was in Eretz Yisrael recently, and he's the kind of guy that just like will do anything for anybody if he sees someone in need, you know. So he was walking back from the Kotel, and you know the people that collect money, the old ladies that collect money at the Kotel. So you know some people will drop a shekel or something. Some people will continue to walk. He noticed that this woman was struggling to open her umbrella, and it was starting to rain. So he stopped to offer her assistance in opening her umbrella. So she said, thank you very much, and he starts fidgeting with the umbrella, and he destroys the entire umbrella. He breaks the whole umbrella. So he wanted to know, is he out by accident? He wasn't trying, it wasn't like a practical joke. It was by accident. He destroys the woman's umbrella. So he wants to know, is he obligated to pay for the woman's umbrella that he physically took in his hands and destroyed by accident? That is Shaila number two. Shaila number three, a guy came over to me in shul and told me that he works for a nursing home company. Now, the company that he works for owns nursing homes all over the country, and there's one particular nursing home that they recently bought, which had it's in the middle of nowhere America, not in a Jewish area at all. The nursing home had a name that was a clearly overtly Christian name. I think they took the saint out of the name or something, and when the Jewish company bought it, so that it's not as clearly overtly Christian, but it still sounds kind of Christian. And all of the residents of the nursing home are non-Jews. They are all Christians. And there is a chapel in the nursing home, but unlike one of those airport chapels or hospital chapels where it's, you know, come and pray and meditate and, you know, whatever you want to do and whatever religion of your choice, this is very clearly a chapel that is used only by one religion and it has all of the symbols of that religion. It is very clearly, essentially, a church that is now owned by this Jewish group. So this fellow wanted to know, are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to own such a nursing home that has a church in it? He's not the, you know, this guy just works for the big boss, but the boss is a frum guy. So should he say something to the boss to maybe, you know, ask a shaila about whether a Jew should be owning a church? So he wanted to know what the halacha is in that regard. So we have the delivered packages, the broken umbrella, and the Jew owning a church. Which one do we want to... Okay. All right. So we'll start with the church one because that seems you seem to be outvoted. You see. So and then what? It's not really much about Torah Birch. Okay. So let's start with the Jew owning the church. Thoughts? what halacha am I looking at? What halacha is this? You know, we're learning, the Daf Yomi is learning Misach Avodah Zarah right now. So there's a lot of stuff about Avodah Zarah, but most of the stuff is about, you know, not doing business with them within 3 days of their holidays because they're going to be Ozel Umoda L'Avodah Zarah. Not to pay a meches that's going to go and be paid to the Avodah Zarah. Not to be Mahana the Avodah Zarah. Not to, you know, not to encourage Avodah Zarah. I don't think it ever dawned on the Gemara to say, don't own a church, right? That you're not allowed to... Oh, good, good. So the Gemara... So a couple of things over here. Just some details to sort of frame the conversation. And that is, I'm not 100% clear on these halachos. And normally I try to give klalim that will clarify things. These klalim are more like to explain what I don't understand or what I'm still confused about in terms of the sugya. There is a notion of a beis avodah zarah that the Gemara talks about a lot. However, beis avodah zarah means two things. There are two issues with a beis avodah zarah. A beis avodah zarah sometimes is labeled as such because it is the actual bayis shel ha-avodah zarah, meaning the avodah zarah is a thing that's in that bayis, that's in that place, and the bayis is built in, you know, to house the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara, for example, talks about if you build a Beis HaMerchatz and you magia l'kipa, you get to the dome where they would put the little getchka, where they would put the Avodah Zarah, so then you should stay away from building that area. That is a place that houses the Avodah Zarah. And then there's a separate din of Beis Avodah Zarah, which is that a place where they do Avodah Zarah, where they practice Avodah Zarah. And what's unique about a church is that there is no actual physical Avodah Zarah there. There is no Getchka. There is no, it's not like when you go to India and every city that you visit has an Avodah Zarah after which the city is named after, that's actually in a temple in the city. You know, that's the classic base Avodah Zarah. So whenever you learn these halachas about a base Avodah Zarah, you have to figure out, does this halacha apply to a church? Or is it more about the bayis shel Avodah Zarah? I remember many years ago, I got a call from a guy who lives in Cedars telling me that the Rebbe, the Chassidish Rebbe in Cedars, Rabbi Spiegel, wanted Rav Schechter's phone number. Can you get him Rav Schechter's phone number? So I said, okay. I mean, I was a little surprised that Rabbi Spiegel needed to speak to Rav Schechter, but I didn't want to pry. He said, you want to know what it's about? I said, okay, what's it about? He said that the Rebbe's brother, the Pittsburgh Rebbe, I believe, and the Cedarhurst people here that can confirm, I think Rabbi's brother-in-law or brother, Rabbi Spiegel is the, I've been to so many weddings where he was called up, he is the Alta Kalashav, it's a long one, he's the something Rabbi, so his, I think, brother or brother-in-law is the Pittsburgh Rabbi. Pittsburgh Rabbi got a shaila from a woman who was chosen to be the architect by Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson is an actor in Hollywood who at that time made a movie called, I forgot what it's called, but it was about Yashka he's a pretty famous anti-Semite, whatever. So Mel Gibson was building a church and he had put out bids for people to bid on the job to be the architect of the church. And this woman won the job and she wanted to know if she's allowed to do it. She's not such a frum lady, but she asked the Pittsburgh Rebbe her shaila. He wasn't sure what to tell her. So he asked, Rabbi Spiegel, I guess, figured, I don't know, you know, I guess they were talking and learning or something. He said, oh, you gotta ask Rav Schachter, he's, I don't know, NYU or whatever, like, he's, he know all about Avodah Zarah. So, I didn't mean it that way, but, they wanted his phone number. So I happened to have been driving Rav Schachter, and I asked him, he thought it was mutter, if I recall correctly at the time. I was surprised, the base Avodah Zarah, and you're gonna help him? No, she's destroying the plans. So let's go through some of these halachos about being mahanin avodah zarah, allowing for an avodah zarah, you know, and at least things that come close to some of these halachos. There is a machlokas amarayim in Masechta Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Beis and Beis. If you're allowed to buy from stores that pay a tax to an avodah zarah, because you're going to be mahana the avodah zarah, meaning those stores are, you know, a lot of these people ask this time of year before Purim, a lot of these thrift shops. They're church-owned thrift shops. So whatever money they make, these are all donations they get from the clothing that's dropped in the church parking lot, which make for great Purim costumes. But a lot of the proceeds go to support the church. So are you allowed, the Gemara has a discussion, are you allowed to buy from a store where a portion of the proceeds go to support an Avodah Zarah? A mechas Avodah Zarah, and where you're going to be mahana the Avodah Zarah. Reish Lakish holds mutter, Rabbi Yochanan holds aser. So then the Gemara goes on to describe that on certain days they would have a deal that anyone who would put a certain type of atara al rosho, a certain crown on his head, and barosh chamoro as a kavod for the avodah zarah, so he'd dress up his animal and himself in some type of, you know, statement, you know, Jesus loves you or whatever, you know, something that would show allegiance to the avodah zarah, they would be maniach hasameches. They would not charge the tax for such people who would dress like this. But if you don't do it, then they will charge you the tax. So the Gemara says, you're really stuck over here, because manushuch, if you do put it on, how could you wear a thing that says that you're supporting the avodah zarah? On the other hand, if you don't put it on, then you're going to be paying the meches, and your mamish is going to be supporting the avodah zarah. So we see that there is this heightened sensitivity to doing anything that will support an avodah zarah by channeling money, and I would imagine even more than money, by actually giving the makom for which the avodah zarah is going to be served. Now, within Reish Lakish Shita, there are a number of different approaches in the Rishonim. What circumstances you're allowed to be mahana the avodah zarah? Tosfos in avodah zarah writes that only a hana'a she'ena meruba is mutter, but Tosfos says a hana'a meruba even Reish Lakish would ask her. And what's the example that Tosfos gives of a hana'a meruba? Livnos bayis la'avodah zarah, to build a bayis la'avodah zarah. Why? Shenira kinosein makom la'avodah zarah. Whoa, that would be even the more makel shita, even Reish Lakish, whose makel on being mahana the avodah zarah says, hanam wetes, whatever, 2% that they're giving to the avodah zarah, and it's money, and you don't know what they can use it for, or whatever. You know, all of those things. You know, sometimes we have the security guards here selling chocolate bars, right? Have we had that yet this year? That's benefiting their kids' Catholic schools or something. So, you know, guys always hack, oh, we allowed to buy the chocolate bars. Okay, they're keeping the kids off the streets. They're giving them nice programming. They're paying for the basketball team and for the uniforms. Oh, whatever. They could be paying for anything. You're probably not paying for the wafers and the wine. You know, you're paying for you could be paying for anything. So I think the Rosh Yeshiva allowed them. I think he did not stop them from selling in Yeshiva. I'm going to speak for the Rosh Yeshiva, but just like the facts sort of speak for themselves, I guess. But the way Tosos defines, what's the worst? The worst would be if you're no say makom l'avodah zarah, to give place for the avodah zarah. The Ritva writes that the Isser of being mahana avodah zarah is an Isser min haTorah, that this is an Isser daraisa. Not everyone agrees. The curious Sefer writes that it's only an Isser midrabanan, and the explanation that's offered by the Levush. Why is the Isser to be mahana? You know, I know that there are things in the Torah that are an Isser hana'a, but usually it goes in the other direction. That I'm not letting, something is so terribly Isser, I'm not allowed to be nehne from it. Why am I not allowed to be mehane it? So I would have thought, pashup shat, because you can't support avodah zarah, meaning it's a separate issue having nothing to do with being nene mei avodah zarah. Levush explains that no, that if you are mahana the avodah zarah, you'll come to be nehene from it as well, because usually there are reciprocal relationships. So you're going to be mahana the avodah zarah, somehow you're going to be nehene from it as well. Whereas the Chaznish says svara, the Torah says you have to be misrachik mei avodah zarah as much as possible. So how could it be that you're going to provide support for an avodah zarah? It just can't be that that's the issur of being mahana the avodah zarah. Now, it's also clear in the Gemara, and this is a little later on in avodah zarah daf mem zayin, that you're not allowed to build a binyan shel avodah zarah. For example, the Gemara gives the case: mishaya beso samach lebeis avodah zarah. You share a wall. You know, you live in attached houses. Let's say they made a house minion. You know, whatever the avodah zarah version of a house minion in one of these attached Kew Garden Hills houses, right? And the wall between your house and the avodah zarah, the base of avodah zarah, comes down. So the Gemara says it's usher to rebuild it because you're building a kosel l'avodah zarah. So what do you have to do? Konis l'toch shelo dalar amos, which in Kew Garden Hills would put your wall in the other neighbor's house, I think, if you're konis l'toch shelo dalar amos. But you'd be konis l'toch shelo dalar amos. You have to move 4 amos in to your property, and then you're bona. Then you could build it. And certainly, says the Ritva, sha'asal l'vnos l'chachila, certainly you're not allowed to build something for avodah zarah l'chachila. That there's no doubt about. So it would seem, based on all of that, it would seem that to provide a makom for avodah zarah would be significantly problematic. And beyond that, the Torah tells us, v'kama makomos, abeit ha'abdunas kol makomos asher avdu shom agayim. So the truth is, a lot of that is about Eretz Yisrael. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to dal harim haramim v'alagvos v'tachos kol eitz ranon. You have to search out and destroy all the avodah zarah. But the Gemara points out that, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to search it out. But in Chutz La'aretz, if you come across it, you destroy it. You don't have to search it out, but if you come across it, you destroy the avodah zarah. So if you have a bailus of something that's avodah zarah, then l'chora you shouldn't encourage it to go on. You shouldn't keep the avodah zarah. And we generally assume we pass from Shulchan Aruch that Christianity is avodah zarah. So I thought that would be a davar pashut, that this is at least a shaila, and that this guy has a responsibility to tell his bosses that they should ask the shaila, or at least raise the issue with them. I was talking to a very close chaver of mine. I think he was speaking off the record, so I'm not going to quote him on this. But he said that he was once this talking. He brought Rav Asher Weiss to meet with a very significant real estate person, and this real estate investor was asking Rav Asher. He had the following shaila, a similar shaila, not exactly the same. That this fellow had purchased the air rights to a building in Manhattan. If you're familiar, air rights in Manhattan are very valuable. The air rights means that a building is 3 stories high, and in Manhattan you could build up, you know, another 50 stories, and that's a lot of real estate that you could sell. So there's a church in Manhattan whose membership was declining, doesn't really have much going on in the church. They still have services, but they, in order to make money, the church sold their air rights, and they sold it to this frum Jew. So the deal that they made with him was that he has to, when he builds up, he has to provide them, he has to remodel the church a little bit and provide them with a separate entrance on a different side of the street than the hotel entrance is going to be. He's building a hotel on top of it so that the church could sort of remain independent. And he wanted to know if he's allowed to do this, to sort of remodel the church and, you know, in order to allow for him to build the hotel. So this close chaver of mine told me he couldn't believe it. He said that Rav Schechter was someone involved in the conversation, said, absolutely, yes, sir. Can't do that. And Rav Asher Weiss said he didn't see the shaila, he thought it was mutter. So I have no further detail other than that. I don't see how you don't see the shaila. Like I would love to, you know, find out more information. But I asked Rav Schechter this shaila. I asked Rav Schechter a couple of weeks ago. My niece got engaged to Rav Schechter, and the Rebbetzin were kind enough to come to the Vart at my parents' house. So he was, you know, as the Rebbetzin was working the room, Rav Schachter was just, you know, bored. So I was able to, Rav Schachter, for the last half hour that he was there, he was standing at the door with his coat on, trying to hint to the Rebbetzin that it's time to go. So my brother said to Rav Schachter, Rebbe, should I tell the Rebbetzin that you're ready to go? He said, in my experience, that's counterproductive. So I asked him this shayla. So he said, yeah, it's for sure a problem. But he said, forget about that. It's a problem anyway. The whole facility is a trefa facility. Everything's not kosher there, so it's no good anyway. So, why is that necessarily a problem? So there is, I thought he was referring to the Isser of doing schara with Machalos Hasuros, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yardea, Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Chav Gimel, that you're not allowed to buy and sell Isser food that's Asur Midoraisa, Machalos Hasuros. Now, if you happen to have Machalos Hasuros to gift it to somebody because you're stuck with it, you know, let's say you own a Shachtais or something, and a few of the animals come out as Trefus or as Nevelus or whatever, so then, okay, you can gift that to somebody because Nizdamimo, it happened, you ended up with it. But to buy and sell and to actually do business with Machalos Hasuros is highly problematic. The Ramah holds you're not even allowed to buy non-kosher food to feed to your workers. If you have people who work for you, now Shachan or Chashulchan or more Mekel on that issue, but certainly to do business with Machalos Hasuros would be problematic. Rav Schachter was saying, forget about that. He wasn't even talking about that. He said, Mistama, they cook, they don't have a separate milch and flesh kitchen for the Machalos Hasuros, meaning Mistama, it's Basa B'chalav. And the Blios and all the Kalim are Basa B'chalav, and they're constantly using these Kalim from breakfast to lunch to dinner. They're not, they're not waiting 24 hours for the Tam to become before the all the kelim are basa b'chalav midaraisa, and therefore he said that it's an isra anah from basa b'chalav. If he's providing the clients with a kitchen that's feeding basa b'chalav, he thought that would be. He said, you know, I would have thought that there's no isra anah and blios of basa b'chalav, that wouldn't be called derech bishul, and only derech bishul as for Torah. Because what the blios of basa b'chalav in the kelim, that's called that your nana from the blios, that's derech bishul. He said, but all the Achronim say against me. He said, but like the early Achronim, like the Chavz Das and the Prima Gadim, they all say against me. So he said, so obviously the halacha is not that way. The halacha is that we are concerned about the Bliyos. So he thought that it would be Asur anyway, which is a much bigger, I would imagine the Shaila now becomes much more Nogea to a lot more people. Not everyone who owns nursing homes owns a church. But a lot of people who own nursing homes own trefa kitchens in their nursing home, and that's one of the services that they provide their clientele. So I would advise people who are in that situation to ask a shayla. I would probably advise them maybe don't ask Rav Schachter the shayla anymore, or get have them figure out something, some sort of mechira, some sort of partnership you could have with a guy or something to figure out a way to avoid violation of this issue. So that was shayla number one.
Could you just sell the place in the church to a guy, like for a few dollars to help?
Well, the problem is it would still be nana from the if you sell the place of the church, he's still being nana from the Avodah Zarah because he's using it to draw clients to that. Meaning it's one of the perks that they offer. So like in their brochure, it's going to say church on premises. So for your aging religious relatives, this is a great way to spend the twilight of it, spend time in God's waiting room.
Are you able to sell the whole home and benefit from that?
Meaning now that they own it, I don't know.
Selling the church is great.
Buy
the home.
Yeah, buy the home and you get a church for free. I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough shayla. I'm not sure. Okay, next. We want the package or the umbrella?
The package.
The package shayla? Okay. So again, the shayla was, I thought the shayla was, when he first asked it, was that Yehuda had received packages from Amazon. And the Amazon packages contained Nike sneakers and these gift cards. He didn't tell me initially what kinds of gift cards. It turned out that they were not from Amazon. They were directly from the companies. Meaning the package, one directly from Nike, the other directly from Tory Burch. What is the shaila over here? What is the issue? Meaning, did Yehuda commit any sort of fraud or mekach tzedek? He did absolutely nothing wrong, right? He didn't. He was not mata the guy. He was not, even a total sakum that he was involved in. Someone decided to steal from somebody else. So the first thing we have to clarify over here, and this I could not clarify, I've asked two people who are in similar industries, and I got two different answers. Who ends up losing money in this case? Let's say Yehuda does not return the sneakers or the gift cards. Who loses the money? Meaning, let's say it was a credit card stolen from Bob Jones, right? So Bob Jones is going to cancel his credit card. So those charges are going to be disputed, and Bob Jones is not going to have to pay those charges on his credit card. Bob Jones is not losing the money. Who's losing the money?
Nike Tory Burch.
So is it Nike/Tory Burch, or is it the credit card company? Meaning it's already been ordered on the credit card.
Potentially both. It depends how big. Chase isn't going to go after you unless it's like more than $1,000 or something like that. Meaning, like, I disputed a charge. Someone bought, like, a Coke on my credit card for $1.82 at a McDonald's. I saw where it came from, and just, whatever, I looked into it. And Chase just said, you know, we dropped things under, like, it was, like, something like $250.
Well,
so Chase loses it.
So Chase will take the hit on that.
Yeah.
And McDonald's will...
It depends on how much money.
Meaning they'll honor it, they'll pay McDonald's.
Correct.
Okay.
Does the money immediately get wired through to Nike?
So apparently, that's the question, right? I mean, apparently I'm told there's like a 6 months, a guy in my shul owns a UPS store, so he's constantly dealing with all sorts of fraud. He gets all sorts of things shipped to his store, and people come, they get it shipped to a box somewhere, and people come to pick things up, and like, he could sniff out, you know, that these people are clearly... You know, that something's a foul, you know, something. So he thinks that the credit cards don't lose the money on this, but you're telling me that really depends.
I mean, I've asked him before what happens.
Right, so it really depends on the amount. So why does that matter? Why does that matter over here? What halacha does Yehuda have over here? Meaning, what's his issue? What is he... is it stealing for him to take it at this point? It was left on his doorstep. Is he stealing if he takes it? So what is it? What is it? What? Meaning it's really a Shavas Aveda, right? Meaning something was lost from Tory Burch, from Nike, and he's got it.
But
he
lost, they're being paid for it, it's not lost.
So from whoever is not being paid for it, right? L'chora. So it's an issue of, I would think it's an issue of a Shavas Aveda, yeah.
Someone feels something.
But if you know who it was stolen from, you should probably have to return it, no? But it's not your... Heshvas Hagzela is when you steal it. So I'm not sure. But it's some form of Heshvas Aveda, you know? Like, I would think. Again, this one I didn't really ask around much, and I don't know. I'm not sure. But some form of something like Heshvas Aveda. Now, what's the halacha of Heshvas Aveda? So it's a Gemara in Baba Kama that tells us Baba Kama Kuf Yud Gimel. Amar Rav Chaim Bar Gvir, Rav Minayin LaAvedas HaGoy Shehi Muteras. That if a goy loses something and it ends up on your doorstep, it's mutter. You're allowed to keep it. So the Torah writes. It's interesting. The Torah writes that Avedas Ovdei Avodah Zarah is mutter. So Beis Yosef says, I don't understand why he wrote Avedas Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You know, the Gemara darshens it from the fact that it says L'kol Avedas Achicha L'Achicha Atamachzi V'Atamachzi L'Goy, that whoever's not Achiv, there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So I don't care if he's not Avodah Zarah or not, he's not Achiv. So there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on anyone who's not Achicha. So the Beis Yosef says, I understand why the Torah wrote only of the Avodah Zarah. So Beis Yosef has two suggestions. One is, he says, that he doesn't mean of the Avodah Zarah, but he says, the Mishum de Be'eretz Edom, hayu aminim mav'ishim reicham shal Yisrael, b'nei amalachim midin zeh. They used to say all sorts of terrible things about Jews, and they would point to this halacha. Look, Jews don't do Hashavas Aveda to Goyim. So Jews, the Chachmei Yisrael, says the Beis Yosef, made up all sorts of stories. And they would say, oh no, that doesn't mean you guys. That means the bad Goyim. You know, not like, that means the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And it actually worked its way into the Svarim that they started writing, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, just to satisfy the anti-Semitic governments. That's one suggestion that Beis Yosef actually has in Chosh Mishpat, Simon Reish Samach Vav. The other suggestion he has is maybe it's Avdei Avodah Zarah to include more than Goyim, that even Jews were Avdei Avodah Zarah. There's no mitzvah Hashava. That if you have Goyim, there's no mitzvah Hashava, and Jews were Avdei Avodah Zarah. So you would say, okay, but you have, do the right thing. What do you lose by doing the right thing? So this is one of those things where it's not just so simple that you can just say, okay, do the right thing, and then you don't lose anything. Dafka by Hashava Saveda, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Davayin Vav, tells us, HaMakzir Aveda Lagoy, Allah HaKazav Omer, L'man Tzvos HaRavas Atzmeya, that it's a violation of some sort of Isser to do Hashava Saveda to a guy. And Rashi writes, why? Because he's Hishve Goyim Li Yisrael, Umara Ba'atzmo Shashava Saveda Eina Chashuva Lo Mitzvahs Boro, he's showing that he's not doing the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. He's doing it out of his own sense of ethics and morality, and that is not right. When you do a mitzvah, it should be for the sake of a mitzvah. So it's considered to be a violation, an isser, on some level. So why is it that we always do a Hashavas Aveda to a guy? Right? You find a wallet on the subway. Why would you return it if you said, Kiddush Hashem, you have an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, and that's in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, and it's based on the Rambam, that if you could be Mekadesh Es Hashem, then certainly you should be Mekadesh Es Hashem. Rabbi Willig Shlita told me he once found something, a wallet, a pocketbook or something on the train, and he saw the name in it, and he wrote on the, he went to the post office, put it in an envelope, sent it to the address, and wrote on the return address, Rabbi Mordechai Willig. I can tell you, he never goes by Rabbi. I mean, he goes by Rabbi when other people call him Rabbi. But like, if you say, when he calls the house, who is this? He'll say, it's Mordechai Willig. He'll never say, it's Rabbi Willig Shlita, great Rosh Yeshiva, Like, he never plays the Rabbi card, but he said that Dafka, on that, he wrote Rabbi Mordechai Willig. Why? Because, that's the Kiddush Hashem element, that you have the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. A guy in my shul told me, Rabbi Danny Konigsberg, that's my shul, who's told me that he was on the train platform by LIR, Long Island Railroad, and he had his brand new iPhone that he had just bought, with filters and kosher and everything. But he had his brand new iPhone, and he's sitting there with the brand new iPhone, and there's an African American woman with her young child walking up the platform. But the woman was walking, the child was throwing a fit about something, as children do sometimes, usually in public. So the kid was like going nuts, and as they came closer, the kid like swung and accidentally knocked the phone right out of his hand. Bam! Smashed the phone into the whole screen. Got smashed on his brand new iPhone he got the day before. So he didn't, he figured the woman had her hands full. He didn't want to say anything at the time. Then he came home. His wife said to him, you should, LIRR is very good like about damages and things that are lost and so that, you should call them, just see what they say. So okay, so he called them and he told them the story, and they said, you have a claim against somebody? Like, do you have somebody, you have a person to make a claim? Like, we didn't do anything, So he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm sure you have cameras, can you like maybe get the footage? They said, sure, get a subpoena from the police department, and then we'll get the footage. Otherwise, we're not sitting here looking through the footage of your train station to see who smashed your iPhone. But we'll lodge the complaint, we'll keep a record of it. The next day, he got a phone call from the Long Island Railroad. It's unbelievable. He got a phone call from the Long Island Railroad. An African-American woman had come forward saying that her child had smashed someone's phone, and she wanted to pay. Why? So she explained. Because her child was carrying on. Because the child had just left a very expensive item on a previous train that they were switching from. They were just switching trains. And it was gone now. The train had gone away. An Orthodox Jewish man found that very expensive item on the train, came forward and returned it to her. And she said, if that Orthodox Jewish man could return this item to me, then I'm going to take care of the other Orthodox Jewish man whose item we destroyed. So, unbelievable, no? Kiddush Hashem happens. It could really happen. But in this case, the case of the pack, Yehuda's got these packages. What's the Kiddush Hashem that's going to happen? It could be that he's not even dealing with the person who's getting the money back. Meaning, what's he going to do? He'll send it back to Amazon? Ooh, Kiddush Hashem, you sent it back to Amazon. No, then they're just not going to charge the credit company. There's no Kiddush Hashem.
Wait, but you
once gave like a long time ago in a shir that someone had gotten a car accident when they were little and like they lied on the stand or whatever, and it was like the whole her whole life was basically paid for, but then you said they had to give the money back because someone's losing money. At the end of the day, that write-off, yeah, maybe the insurance company wrote it off, but someone lost money there.
Right, but that was a case where your dishonesty cost them money. Over here, it wasn't you, it just landed on your doorstep.
But if he spends it, and he doesn't attempt to
return
it.
I think there's a difference between the sneakers and the gift cards. The gift cards aren't money lost yet from Tory Burch, right? Meaning it's only when gift cards aren't worth anything. They're only worth something when you use them. In fact, companies love selling gift cards because if you've ever heard the statistics, you can look it up. It's astonishing the percentage of value of gift cards that's actually spent, that's actually used. So if a company sells $100 worth of a gift card, chances are $40 of that is not being spent at all. It's just money in the company's pocket. So a gift card is like, is great for these companies, but before you actually use it, the company has lost nothing yet. Now, that's why it may be important to know if there was a middleman. So he told me that the way the case was, that it was bought directly from Tory Burch. And that was one of the ways the cops knew that that's a very common thing that they'll do. They'll order dafka, the ganavim will order gift cards rather than items, and then for whatever reason,
sell the gift card online with cash.
Oh, okay. So whatever it is.
Like
so,
90 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Okay. So I would think that even if the sneakers, there's no chance for Kiddush Hashem or whatever else, so maybe you don't have to return the sneakers. Maybe it's to say it's us to return the sneakers. Might be a little much. I'll explain why in a second. But I would think to actively use those gift cards might be an overt act of being mata in akum, and would therefore be problematic. Now, I do believe it's mutter and encouraged to return the sneakers anyway, even though the Shulchan Aruch says it's aser. There is a series of tshuvas back and forth between Rav Menashe Klein and Rav Binyamin Zilber about Hashavas Aveda to a guy Bizman Azeh. Rav Binyamin Zilber was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He wrote the tshuvas Az Nidberu. Familiar? They say the Chaznish used to call him Binyamin Atzadik. In fact, there's a tshuva. It's an unbelievable tshuva. It was just as I was writing one of the topics in my next sefer, I came across this tshuva. Unbelievable. I think it was from Rav David Cohn, maybe sent a shayla, or some. It was a major American posek that sent a shayla to Rav Binyamin Zilber. And he wrote, when you write Dear Rabbi, so they never write Dear Rabbi, they write Lechvod, and they like five lines of titles or whatever. So when Rav Shneur Lyman reads like a tshuva, that's a Lechvod, Marenu, Harav, Hagon, Or, Hagol, da, 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 he translates Dear Rabbi. And, because that was just so. In this American posuk wrote, "Mi shenikra al yidei achazunish bin yomen atzadik," mitor b'shem tzadik. So Rav Zilber writes back a whole paragraph. He's saying, I normally try to not pay attention to these things, and I don't allow. I try to strive for not allowing praise or criticism to affect me too much, and maintaining an even keel. But you should know that a lot of things they say about the Chazon Ish aren't true. And if people tell you that the Chazon Ish would call someone like me a tzaddik, you shouldn't believe it. It's not true. He couldn't tolerate being called a tzaddik. So, essentially proving, in that paragraph. So anyway, so there's a whole back and forth. Rabbi Yom Zibler insists that one is supposed to be Meshav Aveda to a guy, Bizman Azeh, and Rabbi Menashe Klein fights very hard against it, that it's absolutely usher. And one of Rabbi Yom Zibler's arguments is Dina Malchus Adina, that there are actual laws about Hashavas Aveda. They're not widely kept and observed, but there are actual laws about Hashavas Aveda, and I thought that there aren't, but people told me, people who know more than me about the American legal system told me that there actually are laws, they're just not enforced, but there actually are laws about finding lost objects and having to return them. So once there's Dina Malchus Adina in the picture, and that's considered, I think it's more than that, that's considered the standard ethical behavior of what you would expect someone to do for you, and therefore what you could do for others. Rav Shaft always talks about that mitzvahs peron lechaveru have an understanding of reciprocity. I don't have to go out of my way for a guy because I wouldn't expect a guy to go out of his way for me. But I'm not going to steal from a guy just like I would expect a normal upstanding guy not to steal from me. Right? so there's the assumption of reciprocity. For a Jew, I would expect a Jew to be mevaker chola when I'm sick, and a Jew to do, so I have to do those things for other Jews, because it's family. It's not just another human being, it's family. So given that, whether you call it dinu malchus dinu, or whether you call it the expectation of an upstanding society, I don't think that it's an issue to return. I don't think Meikar HaDini is obligated to return the sneakers. But, you know, in general, suffix of ethical behavior, we always try, especially, as we pointed out many times here, that especially since honesty is an issue for our generation of from Jews, of Orthodox Jews, and we've seen too many times where people that you could have sat next to in shul last week, and you know, and then they're on the front page of some newspaper or another, not for doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, you know, and it probably behooves us to be even more honest than the than the halacha requires. Last week we dedicated the shiur to Zechun Nishmas, your father. One of the times your father got angry at me, is, you remember this? I was talking about this topic in the shiur, and I wasn't as strong as I could have been, perhaps, in preaching the value of honesty, and it bothered him. So I've been careful since then. So that should also be an aliyah for the neshama. And, you know, so it happened to be Yehuda, this fellow Yehuda called up Nike, and they said, keep it. It costs money to ship it back also. And they're not interested. And he doesn't have to pay for that. I don't think he has to pay for that. But I told him he should not use the Tory Burch gift cards. I don't know how happy his wife was about that, but I told him that he should not use the gift cards.
He kept the sneakers
and she got nothing, yeah. Unless the sneakers fit her. Okay. All right, have a good Shabbos.